Welcome to the KMUD News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. In this episode, we'll start with some quick local updates and then move to stories on the first cannabis bust from this week's helicopter activity, sentencing for a double homicide, and Humboldt supervisors taking action on oil facilities, detention centers, and data centers, along with this week's sports report. This is KMUD News. Starting off with news on Highway 101 in southern Humboldt, near the Northern Nights Festival. This morning, a collision between a semi-truck and SUV in the Cooks Valley area briefly closed northbound lanes of Highway 101. The crash occurred at approximately 7:50 a.m. Scanner traffic indicated fuel spilling onto the roadway, and a single lane with traffic control was quickly opened to resolve the full closure of northbound lanes on Highway 101. However, with the Northern Nights Festival this weekend, traffic was heavily impacted, with some reports of staff arriving late at the festival site due to the traffic situation. Thankfully, by noon, the accident scene had been cleared, and CHP reported traffic as moving smoothly. From the City of Arcata, the City of Arcata is now accepting pre-applications for its permanent local housing allocation, owner-occupied pilot housing rehabilitation program. This program will provide low-interest loans for eligible rehabilitation, accessibility, and energy efficiency upgrades for income-qualified Arcata homeowners. It gives priority to homes that have cited health and safety code violations. Because program capacity is limited, the pilot program is expected to assist approximately 3 to 4 households. Pre-applications will be placed on a waitlist, and participants will be selected through a lottery system. The first round of pre-application reviews will begin on Monday, August 10th. Pre-applications are available online on the city's website under the housing section. From the Humboldt Superior Court. The Superior Court of California, County of Humboldt, is pleased to announce the expansion of its online services with the launch of the court's public portal, which provides convenient, remote access to publicly available case information. Effective July 21st, members of the public will be able to search for public cases filed in Humboldt County Superior Court. The portal provides access to court calendar information and register of actions information for eligible public cases, allowing users to view case activity online. The public portal can be accessed on the homepage of the court's website at www.humboldt.courts.ca.gov. And next, our main stories. This is KMUD News. The Humboldt Sheriff's Department acted yesterday on data collected from the Cannabis Enforcement Helicopter, KMUD News reports. After all the hoopla and constant tracking across southern Humboldt of the privately funded helicopter in use by the Humboldt Sheriff's Office for cannabis enforcement, we now have confirmation of a follow-up operation by the Sheriff's Department based on the aerial data they gathered on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yesterday, Thursday, July 16th, deputies with the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department's Marijuana Enforcement Team, or MET for short, served a search warrant in the Alder Point area. The operation occurred on the 200 block of Ware Ranch Road, deep in the hills, about 3 miles northeast of the Alder Point Bridge at a higher elevation. The effort was in coordination with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, who typically check for environmental violations on cannabis farms. According to the Humboldt Sheriff's Department, quote, "The property investigated was identified through aerial surveillance and did not possess the required county permit and state license to cultivate cannabis commercially," end quote. The press release put out by the Sheriff's Office also details claims of subpar working and living conditions on the site, although no actual workers were found during the search. In total, 2,180 cannabis plants, 1,199 clone starts, and 2,300 pounds of already harvested cannabis flower was seized from the site. CDFW also found multiple environmental violations, including water diversion violations, stream alteration violations, and violations for depositing trash in or near a waterway. The first two violations for water and stream diversion can each result in fines of up to $8,000 per day, while depositing trash in or near a waterway can result in fines of up to $20,000 per day. No arrests were made during the operation, although the case is being forwarded to the district attorney, and the only seizure was that of cannabis plants and clones. While the environmental violations are regrettable, especially those dealing with trash in a waterway, there are questions on whether catching such minor infractions justify 2 straight days of intense helicopter activity over Southern Humboldt Cannabis Farms. The NCCSC, or Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities helicopter, kept up a quick and minute-by-minute patrol of Southern Humboldt on Tuesday and Wednesday. Refueling stops were mostly at the Ukiah Airport, with enforcement runs typically lasting 2 to 3 hours. The helicopter is registered to the Butte County Sheriff's Office, funded by the Howard Buffett Foundation via the NCCSC, and used by 4 counties in Northern California for cannabis enforcement under the guise of preventing human trafficking. Tracking the helicopter was a full-time activity for this reporter on Tuesday and Wednesday, work I could not have done without an immense amount of help from the local cannabis-growing community, sending in coordinates, photos, videos, and the time at which the helicopter was seen patrolling was an immense help in unveiling the large scope of this week's cannabis enforcement operation. The patrol runs themselves were beguiling and often a bit unpredictable. At times, the helicopter would move from point to point, transiting across large stretches of area, and other times would spend an hour or two patrolling the same area, with some cultivators claiming it checked on every last property in some neighborhoods. The main hotspots for the operation appeared to be Salmon Creek, Bloxburg, Alder Point, Upper Benbow, and on Wednesday, a significant trip across much of the Mattole Valley. The helicopter was also spotted in a large number of other growing regions like Bryceland and Edersburg to varying degrees. In-air tracking was available while the chopper was airborne between enforcement activity on Tuesday. But by Wednesday, tracking was turned off the minute the helicopter took off from refueling stops. That marked a significant change versus previous operations where there had been FAA tracking available during transit periods. On Wednesday, only individual reports from growers and residents could track the helicopter's location. Whether that specific strategy change was due to our consistent location reporting on social media is unclear. Why the Sheriff's Department needed to take a look at so many cannabis farms this week is also unknown. It's doubtful that a single farm bust with no arrests and only cannabis material seized was the ultimate goal for the Sheriff's Department after 2 straight days of intense aerial surveillance. There are many questions to answer on what exactly Sheriff William Hansel aims to accomplish with the recent increase in aerial surveillance of local cannabis farms. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Humboldt County will be taking up bans on offshore oil support facilities, detention centers, and a moratorium on data centers, Daniel Mintz reports.
Taking aim at 3 targets at once, Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors is pursuing bans on offshore oil support facilities and immigration detention centers and a moratorium on AI data centers. County staff got the go-ahead to prepare ban ordinances and the moratorium at the July 14 supervisors meeting. There was consensus among supervisors on the detention and data centers. Banning offshore oil support facilities saw some disagreement, but a majority of supervisors supported it. Amazon's warehouse project in McKinleyville was an overhanging issue throughout the discussions. Planning Director John Ford described public suspicion that, quote, Amazon would build this facility and turn it into a detention facility. And he added people are also concerned that a data center is another switcheroo Amazon might be plotting. Humboldt seems an unlikely location for a detention center, but Board Chair Mike Wilson said there is indeed a basis for concern.
There is a concern that any warehouse facility, including a new warehouse facility, could be converted to either a data center or a detention facility. I will emphasize that the federal government, in its efforts around its immigration efforts. I mean, spent, I think it was like $6 billion or some huge amount of money buying warehouse facilities around the United States with the intention of converting them into detention centers. So I think that that precedent of that effort is what drives or animates this that discussion. And so I think that that's something that people are have concerns about. And then also in relation to data centers, that also is something that is animating people because there is an expansion of the of data center development that's very concerning.
Supervisor Steve Madrone supported the actions up for decisions. On the immigration detention center aspect, he countered notions that it couldn't happen here, focusing on the political activity of County Sheriff Billy Hansel.
While ICE has not focused on our community yet, because we didn't have a vice presidential candidate like Minnesota did, or other reasons, we're a small community, we're rural, whatever, we are a sanctuary county. We have two cities with sanctuary ordinances, and our own sheriff fought against Measure K vehemently and suggested that it was going to cost a massive amount of money to implement Measure K, the sanctuary ordinance, when in fact, as was stated in a meeting here just a month ago, it's only costing us a few thousand dollars a year to actually manage the data around all of that and to present it. Our sheriff has also endorsed a candidate for governor, Sheriff Bianco from Riverside County, who has been adamantly opposed to the sanctuary ordinance and stated in his campaign speeches that he would dismantle the sanctuary ordinance at the state level. So, and he was endorsed by our own sheriff. So I think there's very good reasons to be very concerned about detention centers and the possibility of that occurring.
Public comment on the bans and moratorium was roundly supportive of them. Arcata resident Eileen Mandelbaum said the actions are justified and will be supported.
The urgency is great. We don't want to see any more daily headlines about deaths and torture and incarceration of children in jails where humans are held in bondage for profit. We don't want to hear after the fact that a huge data center has sneaked in and overwhelmed our rural communities. You are doing the right thing right now, and your constituents will support you.
Arcata resident Krista Boardman said she works at the Eureka Welcome Center and warned against changing tourist-friendly Humboldt for the worse because, quote, we don't have to lose what makes Humboldt our home. Supervisors took two different votes. First up was directing policy development on the oil-related ban, which also covers deep-sea mining. It passed in a bit of a split vote, with Supervisor Rex Bone voting against it, in part due to economic implications, and Supervisor Michelle Bushnell abstaining because she also has economy-related concerns and wants more information. But authorization for staff work on the detention center ban and data center moratorium was unanimously approved. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
A Humboldt County man convicted in a 2022 double homicide that left a four-year-old girl orphaned was sentenced this week to more than a century in state prison. Ryan Hudson was in the courtroom and has this report.
Russell Martin Albers was sentenced Thursday in Humboldt County Superior Court to 136 years plus 4 months to life in state prison. Judge Kelly Neal handed down the sentence in Courtroom 7, closing out a case that began nearly 3.5 years ago in the early morning hours of December 27, 2022. Albers pleaded guilty back in April to 2 counts of murder and 2 counts of attempted murder. As part of that plea deal, he stipulated to aggravating circumstances but also waived his right to appeal. In doing so, avoided a lengthy jury trial. 10 other charges, including kidnapping, domestic violence, and evading a police officer, were also dismissed as part of that deal. The crimes that unfolded in December of 2022 shook a Eureka neighborhood and forever traumatized the families involved. Just 2 days after Christmas, Russell Albers went to a home on Crane Street in Eureka where his former partner had taken refuge with her sister and her sister's partner. Prosecutors say he forced his way inside, armed with a handgun, and opened fire. The couple, parents of a 4-year-old girl who was home at the time, were both killed. A family friend was also shot and left with an injury that shattered her pelvis. The 4-year-old girl watched it all happen. Albers then forced his wounded former partner into a vehicle before eventually dropping her at a hospital and fleeing. He was captured the next day after a high-speed pursuit that stretched from McKinleyville to Trinidad. At the Thursday hearing for sentencing, several people addressed the court before the sentencing with victim witness impact statements for the judge to consider. The first person to speak, appearing by video, was an aunt of one of the two people killed. Speaking directly to Albers, she said, "I would like Mr. Albers to know he took a part of our family away." She told the court that she hopes, in her words, that Albers dies in prison and that he never comes out because that's what she believed he deserved, she said. Next, the child's adoptive guardian gave an extended statement describing how the little girl's ongoing trauma has impacted her life and her family. She told the court that the child, now 8 years old, being 4 at the time of the killings, has told her she doesn't want Albers ever released and would like Albers to stay in prison out of fear that he would find her and kill her also. The guardian said the girl is now considered at high risk for lasting mental health and physical health challenges because of what she has witnessed and the trauma that it induced. Addressing Albers, she said as to the little girl, quote, "She is not the same. She will never be that child again." And in closing, looking at Albers seated only a few chairs away at the end of the defense table, she raised her voice and forcefully told Albers, "I will be at every parole hearing until you die." Next, the child's own written statement was read aloud in court by a victim witness advocate from the district attorney's office. In it, she described having to step over her father's body during the incident. She said, quote, "My dad's eyes were open, but I knew he was dead." Albers' former partner also issued a statement to the court. She had been shot and forced into a vehicle the night of the killings and delivered an angry, emotional statement describing Albers as controlling and dangerous long before that night. She told the court that she watched Albers kill her sister and that she believed her niece would be next if she didn't leave with him. She said Albers has never shown genuine remorse and claimed he has, in her words, bragged about what he did. The Humboldt County District Attorney's Office told the court there was little to add to what the victims had already said, describing the crime scene investigators found as not unlike something out of a horror movie. Albers himself declined to address the court directly, but did have a prepared written statement. His attorney, David Nims, read that statement on his behalf. In part, he said, quote, "I am so very truly sorry. I hate myself for what I've done. I pray for you all every day," as well as noting that his actions had disgraced him. In conclusion, attorney Nims argued that his client is not, quote, a monster, pointing to Albers' guilty plea and his decision not to appeal. Before pronouncing the sentence, Judge Neal told Albers she would never understand how a person could pick up a firearm and extinguish a life, she said. She also noted that he had many chances to turn away from what he ultimately did, and then handed down the sentence count by count. 15 years to life on the first murder charge, plus a 20-year firearm enhancement. 25 years to life on the second charge of first-degree murder, plus another 25-year enhancement, and consecutive terms on both attempted murder counts, each carrying its own firearm enhancement, for a total of 136 years and 4 months to life in prison. Reporting from the Humboldt County Courthouse, I'm Ryan Hudson for KMUD News.
Here's Ray Hamill with this week's KMUD News Sports Report.
After suffering through one of their most disappointing weeks in recent years, the Humboldt Crabs broke out of their slump in exciting fashion on Wednesday night when McKinleyville's Jackson Kelly threw a no-hitter against the West Coast Kings. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on Kelly and the Crabs in just a moment as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including which local team won last weekend's Humboldt Eagles American Legion Baseball Tournament, why this is a big week for several Humboldt County Little League All-Star teams, and how one local high school football team is helping to prepare young players in the county for the upcoming youth football season. But first up, the Humboldt Crabs broke out of their slump in exciting fashion on Wednesday night, sweeping a doubleheader against the West Coast Kings at the Arcata Ballpark. The local collegiate summer baseball team had a disappointing road trip last week, losing all five of their games against the Healdsburg Prune Packers and the Medford Rogues. They continued to struggle at home this week, dropping the first game of a five-game series against the Kings on Tuesday night, losing 7-2. The six straight losses dropped the Crabs from second in the Pacific Empire League standings all the way to fourth. But a players-only meeting on Tuesday night seemed to work. On Wednesday, the Crabs came out fired up and quickly put the disappointment behind them, and a pair of local pitchers played key roles in doing that. Eureka High graduate Miles Standish got the start on the mound for the opener and pitched well, giving up just two hits and no walks and striking out seven in three scoreless innings. McKinleyville High graduate Jackson Kelly was even more impressive in game two. Kelly pitched a complete game, seven innings, and threw a no-hitter to help get his team back on track. With the two victories, the Crabs improved to 29-10 on the season and 13-9 in the Pacific Empire League, and they remain fourth in the standings and well in contention for a place in this year's league championship series. Kelly was the big story of the night. The 2025 McKinleyville High graduate, who played collegiately at Shoreline Community College in Washington this spring, pitched all seven innings and did not allow a base hit or a walk while striking out 10. Kelly got plenty of support from a team defense that committed just two errors on the night compared to the Kings' seven, while the Crabs' bats rediscovered the swagger that had come to define this team earlier in the summer with 16 hits over the two games. Two of the Crabs' hits were home runs, one each by Colton Boardman and Ryan Vandenbrink. After closing out their five-game series against the Kings on Friday night, the Crabs will look to avenge last week's three losses at Healdsburg when they host the Prune Packers in a two-game weekend series, which gets underway on Saturday night at 6:30 p.m. The two clubs will also play on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. Switching gears, it was a good week for one local American Legion baseball club in particular. The Humboldt Eagles hosted their annual summer tournament in Eureka last weekend, with brackets for 19U's and 17U's. The Eagles 17U's won all five of their tournament games, including a 9-4 win over the Susanville Renegades in Sunday's tournament championship game. Eureka's Kyle Giacconi capped a big few days in tournament play with another impressive performance for the Eagles, striking out 14 Susanville batters and hitting an RBI triple to help kickstart a third-inning rally after a slow start for the team. With Sunday's win, the Eagles stretched their winning streak to 7 straight as they improved to 14-8 on the season. The Eagles will be back in action with three non-tournament games this weekend before traveling to open the American American Legion State playoffs on Tuesday. The Eagles 19U's also are playing some of their best baseball of the summer at the right time. The Eagles won their opening four games in their tournament bracket over the weekend before falling 8-1 to the Colts A team in Sunday's championship game. But with 11 wins in their last 14 games, the surging Eagles will carry plenty of momentum into this week's State 19U playoffs at Fairfield. Garrett Levitt and Riddim Green each finished with a pair of hits in Sunday's loss, as the Eagles were held to just 6 hits as a team. This is also a big week for 4 Humboldt County All-Star teams in Little League action. The McKinleyville Juniors got a busy few days started at their NorCal State tournament in Turlock, but they saw a memorable summer finally come to an end with back-to-back losses on Sunday and Monday to bow out of the double elimination tournament. Despite the 2 losses, which were the first of the summer for the team, the McKinleyville players had a good season, winning both the district and section tournaments to qualify for the state tournament. The playoffs continue this weekend for 3 more district all-star squads. The Eel River 10-year-olds, Redwood Empire 11s and Redwood Empire 12s are all in action at their respective section tournaments after each claimed a district championship late last month. The young Eel River All-Stars are in action in Lake County, while the Redwood Empire 11s are playing in Chico and open their tournament on Friday night. The Redwood Empire 12s also begin tournament play on Friday night and are playing in Colusa. We'll have updates on how all 3 Humboldt County All-Star teams fared on next week's K-Mud News Sports Report. And rounding out another busy week in local sports, the Eureka Loggers are helping out some local youth football players this weekend. Head coach Sam Edmonds and his staff and players will host a free skills clinic at Zane Middle School on Saturday for players in the 3rd through 8th grades. The camp gets underway at 9 a.m. and runs until 2 p.m. And that's this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Bianna Federico, Michael McCaskill, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also, thanks to our reporters for this broadcast, Daniel Mintz, Ryan Hudson, and Ray Hamill. K-Mud News is now on streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at K-Mud News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiat, Wilcut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.